Why is Nebraska going after hedge fund managers trying to prevent them from buying up residential real estate when they should be looking at is Bill Gates for buying up all of their farmland in Nebraska? Hey, everyone. Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. Today's our Q&A episode, but we had some big breaking news over the past few days that I wanted to talk about, which is what the state of Nebraska is proposing, which, of course, is introducing a bill that could make Nebraska the first in the country to forbid out-of-state hedge funds and other corporate entities from buying up single-family properties. So this is kind of, well, it's a can of worms, right? Because at what point, what constitutes a hedge fund? Because BlackRock and other of these large companies like Vanguard and so forth have already started buying up single-family homes in different ways, not even having to use the massive umbrella of their corporation. They're able to use smaller entities and buy up single-family homes and commercial properties. So they've been doing this. They've been kind of planning on this ahead of time, well ahead of time. They knew that this was probably going to come. So, you know, it's not like you're looking on a property card and you're seeing that Apple Incorporated, you know, owns this. It's going to be some smaller entity that is a subsidiary of the larger umbrella company anyway. So they're going to get around this. But it opens up a lot of questions, right, about corporate ownership of properties and buying properties in an LLC. I saw some people online saying, no corporation should be allowed to own residential real estate, to which I say, what are you, crazy? No corporations? Really? Every property that I own is in a corporation. It's in a limited liability corporation and an LLC, and I do that for liability protection, not for any tax purposes or nefarious reasons. But we need rental properties in this country. We need housing in this country. I'm building those houses using my money. And I'm allowed to own it as a corporation. If you literally stop corporations from being involved in building residential real estate or from, you know, building small apartment complexes or duplexes, you're going to see housing grind to an absolute halt in the United States. What, do you want the government to come in and start building housing again? How did that work out for us with the projects? It's not going to happen. It's going to be a terrible, terrible investment. In fact, the government realized it should not be in the business of housing. So it started to incentivize developers to start building in like low-income areas, giving them tax breaks and tax incentives for building homes, and it's been transformative. So this is a can of worms, and I think we're going to watch this unfold. Just watching the responses, though, from people, you know, people are saying, well, why is Nebraska going after corporations? Why don't they go after people who are like Bill Gates, who are buying up all the farmland in the United States so that we can't farm on it? We can't have cattle on those farms anymore. That's what they're doing. That, to me, is a greater threat to the civilization right now than corporations owning housing and hedge funds owning housing. So I don't know. It's an interesting debate. Obviously, the purchase of these properties, the driving up prices, of course, in these areas is obviously a major problem for families. So we need to contend with it in some way. But is this the answer? I'll let you answer me in the comments below. Let me know your thoughts on this. But today is our Q&A episode here, where you get to leave us a voicemail question and we try to answer it here on the show. If you go to morrisinvest.com and right there on the home screen of our website, you can see a microphone icon right there. Just click that and you can leave us a voicemail question. So our first question today comes to us from Jackie.
Hey, Clayton, do you ever get to the point with a rental property because of the chronic expense that it causes due to condition problems? Maybe it's a chronic leaky pipe or some kind of physical condition in the house that just frequently needs to be readdressed every month. When do you look at a property in terms of, should I sell the property, even if it's cash flowing pretty nice? Look forward to your thoughts. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. Well, a couple of things come to mind, right? Number one, as a business owner, I want you to think as if you have 50 properties, okay? And if you have 50 properties and you have a problem property that's causing problems, how do you handle it as a business owner? Because I think there's a difference between someone who, you know, maybe or has 1,000 properties, right? Like our friend of the show, Robert Kiyosaki. We were at lunch one day and I said, how many properties do you own? And I think he said something like 2,000, right? And so think about being Robert Kiyosaki in the brain with how many properties he has. Do you think that he ever worries about, wow, this is one property, problem property, you know, keeps having the same pipe problem over and over and over again. Okay, we need to fix that. All right, this is getting out of hand. This is ridiculous. We need to fix that. What do we need to do to get this fixed? Is it that, or is it something more systemic where you're in a neighborhood that just cannot find good renters because you're in a bad demographic area? You've got high crime, you've got no jobs, you've got, you know, high vacancy rates. That's a different question. But if you've got a great property that cash flows really well, which is what you just said, then I would just nip the problem in the, you know, in the bud. Find a good contractor, talk to a good property management team who's going to fix this problem. Because it sounds like, and I'm just saying this nicely, I don't mean this in any kind of mean way at all, but it sounds like you might not have a, well, maybe you do. And again, maybe I'm judging. I'm just asking you to think as if you're Robert Kiyosaki and you've got 2,000 properties. This one seems to be like a thorn in your side here. Okay. And I want you to think as if you're a business owner of a large company, not sort of a small real estate investor with one or two properties. Because then it's front and center. And then you think this, my God, this is such a huge problem in my life. I've got this one property. It's just going to be such a pain in my butt for so many years to come. No, we just need to solve that problem. How would Robert Kiyosaki handle that problem? Or how would I handle that problem? To me, it would be a part of hundreds of properties that I own, and I would just have the property management team figure it out. Why do we chronically have a broken pipe in this house? Like, let's solve this as a team here. Talk to your property management company on the phone and ask them, like, what's going on here? But it almost sounds like you don't have a property manager. It almost sounds like you're managing this yourself, which may be part of the problem, Jackie. It might be that you're too close to the problem and that what you need to do is bring in the team, bring in the professionals. I guess is what I'm saying here, right? Like delegate this to the right people to solve this. If it's cash flowing, great. It sounds like it's a great property. I wouldn't cut bait on it. But now I will say, I always encourage our audience to look at your portfolio of properties on a monthly basis or semi, maybe quarterly basis. Is there one dog in your portfolio? Is there one that's just like a problem? Well, how do you fix that? Is it chronically vacant? Is there high crime? Are there no jobs? Well, that's a bigger problem. Maybe we need to sell that house. But if it's something as simple as poor management, maybe we need to get a new property management team. Or is it that there's just no one managing the property and you're trying to do it yourself as a busy mom, you know, as a busy wife, you've got a job and you're trying to manage this property yourself. Okay, well, there's the problem right there. You know, I'm a big fan of property management teams because that's what they do for a living. You're creating a new job for yourself, Jackie. And I think you really need to bring in the right team to handle this problem. Again, if the property is great and it's cash flowing great, and it's in a great area and it's in a, you know, upwardly mobile area, you're in a good school district, and you've got a good investment there, then I would just bring in the right team to solve the problem. Probably a better property manager to figure out what this issue is with this pipe, you know, that's causing you a headache. And maybe you're just using that as a metaphor, but I think you catch my drift here, right? You might be a little too close to this issue if you're managing the property yourself. Okay, next question, Christopher.
Hey, Mr. Clayton. I'm in San Diego, California, and we are thinking about turning our primary residence into a rental. The house is pretty brand new. Bought it in 2020 with a 2.25% rate. It's a 2179 square foot single family residence, 4 bed, 3 baths, sitting in a corner lot. Current balance as of now is $580,000. The house is valued around $940,000 to $980,000. Internet value. Current mortgage payment is $3,500 a month. We can get around $42,000, even $5,000 a month if we rent it out. I'm in the military and can't really move into a different state with cheaper cost of living. So now we're looking to find a house to move into with the same or lower current mortgage of $3,500 a month. We are just starting to get into the real estate business, and this will be our first rental if you go this route. Please tell me if we're doing this the right way, or is there any other way to start and get into the real estate business? Thank you very much, and you have a good day.
That's fantastic. Great question here. So you're in the military. You've got this incredible rate, interest rate, right? Because you're in the military, which is amazing. So you get that VA loan, and you're able to turn this now into a rental property, and you have the power of the VA loan, right? Thank you for serving our country. Now you can move, and you can rinse and repeat, and you can do this again. This is a powerful, powerful investing option for you. So, you know, I can't tell you what to do here, whether or not to sell the home or to keep the home. But what I can tell you is probably what I would do is if I could rent out this home, hand it over to a property management team, okay, that will handle it for you. You don't need to deal with this. Personally, I would never, ever want to manage a property myself. Make sure that they place great tenants in the property. And then you're able to use that equity also in the property. You've got like $400,000 worth of equity. What if you could pull out some of that equity of that property using a home equity line of credit and be able to go and buy additional properties and in other markets? I would highly suggest, though, looking outside the California market. California is not a landlord-friendly state. So that's sort of my only hesitation here is that, you know, you're dealing with a non-landlord-friendly state, okay? But if you can, you know, if you can massage this a little bit and make this into your first rental property, you know, more power to you. I know a lot of people have rental properties in California, but I'm just saying if you could take you could choose to sell it, take those profits and then roll that into another state. You know, you could roll that into Texas or other places. And my team would be happy to help walk you through that process. If you decided to invest in Texas, that's what we do. And so you could take those profits and for like $50,000 down, you could then buy another brand new construction rental property in West Texas or Missouri or other places outside of California. That's all I'm saying. So that would be my only hesitation about keeping the property is like, if you could sell it for that kind of profit, maybe you take that profit and roll that into these other rental properties, you know, totally up to you. But if you do decide to keep it, sounds like it'll be a great property, have a property management team managing it for you. And then I would personally want to leverage that equity and pull out some of that equity of the home to be able to buy and rinse and repeat other properties. So now you've got a rental property, plus you've got other ones that you've bought with that equity, and you're moving into another primary residence where you get nearly 0% down because you're in the military, and then you can use the power of the income from that rental property to pay your mortgage. So it's a win-win situation. I think you're on the right track. You're asking the right questions. It really just comes down to, do you want to own a rental property in California, incorporate your LLC there? Because you'll have to pay that, what is it, $800 a year for your incorporation costs of having an LLC in California. And California is not business friendly, and it's also not landlord friendly. So just some things to think about. But my team would be happy to talk with you if you want to on the phone. Just book a call with our team. Just go to morrisinvest.com and click on the book a call button, and we'd be happy to talk with you on the phone about this and maybe kind of point you in the right direction if we can help. Okay, our next question.
Hi, good day. My question is, if I purchase real estate property through my self-directed IRA, come retirement age when I retire and I'm eligible to receive the benefits, will I be able to live in that property as my own?
No, not unless it's sold out from the self-directed IRA. Remember, you cannot have direct benefit from the self-directed account and from the property inside the self-directed account. You cannot personally benefit from it. You can't live in it. You can't rent it to your sister. You have to be really at arm's length away from this transaction. You cannot benefit personally from it. You also can't even manage the renovation or rehabilitation of the property yourself. You have to hire a person that does it separately from you, and all of the transactions need to be coordinated through the custodian and the self-directed account. But you cannot buy a property through a self-directed account and then move into that property unless, of course, you sell it to yourself outside of that. And then, of course, it would not be in your self-directed account anymore. It would be sold out of there into, you know, you personally buy it from your self-directed account. But I would definitely, I don't know the ins and outs of how that would work pre and post retirement. So I would definitely talk to a self-directed account expert or your custodian about that specific transaction, selling it from your self-directed account out to you personally, you know, after retirement age and what that actually looks like, because it may trigger something with the IRS, and that's not something I want to have happen to you. So depending on your situation, which I don't know what that is, I would definitely want you to talk to your custodian about that. But again, this is why we can't live in, it'd be amazing, right? If we could live in our own properties as self-directed accounts, we could live in those properties, but we can't, unfortunately. Yes, that's the benefits and then the downside of it at the same time. So thank you for that question. And thanks to all of you for your great questions. You can go to our website, morrisinvest.com. Click on the little microphone icon on the right side of your screen there and leave us a 30-second voicemail question, and we will attempt to answer it here on the show. So thank you guys so much. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.